Today's daf is Chulin daf Ayin. We are at the Mishnah on daf Samech Tesam at Beis. Before we begin, today's daf is being learned Le'ilu Nishmas Rabbi Yosef ben Reb Reuven. So we're moving along in the fourth perek of Masechta Chulin, perek Behema HaMekashim. The perek began with a halacha that discusses somebody was shechting a Behema Chulin, a female Behema that had an uber inside of it. The halacha is, we learn out from a pasuk in Parsha Shmini that v'chol behema, etc., ba behema, oisa techelu, that even though the uber is technically a life unto itself, but at the same time, the shechita of the mother would work for the child. So you wouldn't have to do a special shechita for the uber. And the Mishnah discussed what happens if before the mother gave birth to this uber, one of the evarim of the uber left the mechitza, left the rechem of the mother. If it was the yad, if it was the roish, if it was a chzira, machlokes, rav and Rabbi Yochanan, a lot of gemaras, a lot of lamdas. Either way, the gemara is going to digress a little bit. Me'inyin le'inyin, ba'oisa inyin. Zok the Mishnah, ha'mevakeres, ha'mekasha le'leid. This was an animal that was giving birth. She was mekasha le'leid. She was in labor. But what was unique was, is the child that she was going to have was going to be her first child. In other words, it was going to be a bechar. It was a kosher animal. An animal where the halacha is that the firstborn child has kedusha. The Torah says in Parashas Re'eh, "Kol ha-bechar hashe yivoleid bevkarcha uvetzoyncha ha-zachar taktish la-shem lo-kecha li-savli bevkar she-recha v'lo-yisogu is bechar tzoynecha." Bechar has kedusha. It's one of the karbonos that were brought on the Mizbeach. It was one of the matnas kuna that had to be given to the Kohen. So this is a baby that's about to be born. It's an animal, a kosher animal. It's a male. So we're at the verge of having Kedusha's Bechar. What happened? The owner of the Bechar, the owner of the animal, now wants to go inside and wants to cut one of the limbs of the Uber. And apparently this was sometimes done just to make the birth of go a little bit more geschmirt, be a little bit easier for the mother. So the question is, can he do it or can he not do it? The Torah says very clearly, as it relates to a bechar, lo yisavli bebchar sheirecha, lo yisagwiz bebchar tzenecha, certainly you're not let it be matul mum bekotchim of kamsu bar kamsu fame. So the question is, it okay for the shoichet to stick his hand now into the animal and be mechatech an aver, so that the childbirth will go a little bit smoothly, says the Mishnah. Mechatech aver aver. Not just that, a mashach l'klav, you can take this aver, and you can now feed it to the dogs. The point of the Mishnah is that as long as the baby wasn't born yet, it doesn't have any kedushas bechar. If there's no kedushas bechar, there's no problem of being matul mum bekachim. Additionally, there's no kedusha to the aver. As a result, if you want, you can be mashach l'klav. If, however, you would assume that there was kedusha on the uber, then the halacha would be you cannot be mechatech ever ever because you'd be matam u'mekachim, and obviously you wouldn't be able to give it to the dogs because we know from Masechta Zvachim there's a whole shulchan aruch of how you have to treat kachim, even kachim right now that you can't put on the mizbech. So in other words, what the Mishnah is saying is mechatech ever ever u'mashach leklovim, that there's no kedusha while it's in the uber. Why not? Because what does the Torah say? Kol ha-becher ashe yivoleid. You need leida. And there was no leida yet. Being that there was no leida, it's not going to be a problem. Yotzer ruba, if however roiv of the baby already emerged, says Rashi, yotzer rubai ke'achas, in one shot, then the halacha is hareza yikover. Then you can't just go ahead and stop being mechatech. At this point, you can't be mashlechit leklovim, but rather yikover, you have to bury it, you have to treat it like kachim. Additionally, even if teres mena b'chayim, the next animal that's going to be born is not going to be the bechar, because being that the first one was yotzer rubai, so the first one's considered the bechar. If the first one's the Bechar, Nifteres Menah Bechayra, the second one is not going to be Bechar. Incidentally, Rashi legs su, and Rashi says that even if the Bechar, the first one, wasn't Yotza Rubai Bevas Achas, but it was Yotza Ever Ever, but eventually it accumulated to Roiv, that would also be enough to say Nifteres Menah Bechayra, but we're not going to get into that. Either way, the point of the Mishnah is that until the Bechar is Yotza Rubai, there is no Kedushas Bechar, because the Torah says, Kol HaBechar Ashe Yivoleid Bevkarcho V'tzoyncho. You need the Leida. As a result, when it's an Uber, there's no Kedusha yet. You can be Mechatech Ever Ever, you can be Mashlechit Leklovim. It's only when it's Yotza Rubai, That's when we look at it as Leida. Why is Rav? Because Ruba is Kekuloi, Rav is always considered. Rav of a Revir is Rav of a Shir. It's always Rav. So as a result, Ruba Kekuloi says that if Rav of it came out, that's when we look at Leida. So this idea is the backdrop for the first half of the daf, which again is a very lumdish daf. Zokti Gemara, lumdish number one. Itma yotza shlish. So we said that the definition of Leida as it relates to Bechar is Rav of the animal was already born. What happens if a third of the animal went out, and the owner of the Bechar sold it to a guy, and now another third came out, so that when the second third emerged, it comes out that you already have two-thirds of the animal that emerged. If two-thirds of the animal emerge, you have Rav. So the question is, what happens to this Bechar? Does it have Kedusha? Does it not have Kedusha? Rav Makadosh, Rav Huna says it's Kedusha. Rav Huna says it's Kedusha. Rav says there's no Kedusha. Rav Huna Makadosh, Rav Huna says it's Kedusha. Kesav Lom Afreya Kadosh. He holds that when you say that Rav of the animal is born, it constitutes Leda, and now there's Kedusha's Bechar, because it was a Bechar, the Kedusha's Chal Lom Afreya. The Kivin the Nafak Le Ruve. So once Rav came out, Igloi Milsel Lom Afreya, the Mikare Hava Kadosh, the Kedusha was already Chal from the Tchilas Aleda. So that when he sold it to a guy, there was no mechira. As a result, this kedusha. Rabbi Amar Rabbi says, "Ain't a kedush that there is no kedusha." Because Savi Mekanu Labo kedush. It's true that the leida and the kedusha is chal once you have roiv of the animal emerging. But when roiv emerges, it's not chal the kedushas bechor lemafreya, but rather it's chal Mekanu Lahaba Uman de Zovin Shaper Zovin. As a result, whatever you sold was a good mechira. So what's going on here? A lot of lumdisha terminology. So what's happening? So two things. Number one, the halacha is, as it relates to Bechar, that the only time an animal's firstborn offspring has Kedushas Bechar is if the animal was owned exclusively by a Yid. If, however, there's any non-Jewish partner, the halacha is, it knocks out the entire Kedushas Bechar. It's what's known as Yad Nochri Be'emtza. It's the first sugya Masechtas Becharis. This is Becharis 101. It's Becharis Dabez. That's why you have the famous Tosfos in Becharis Dabez Amid Bez, where Tosfos talks about making the Shutfos with an Ovid Kechavim, and if the Ovid Kechavim of nowadays, the Neitzrim are Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they're not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. The Rambam brings it in Erech Chaim and the famous Tshuvos Nei Debi Yehuda that we spoke about so many times when we learned Masechtas Sanhedrin, Masechtas Avodah Zarah. It's based on Rabbeinu Tam's famous Shita that today the Neitzrim are not considered Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Where did Rabbeinu Tam say it? He said it twice. He said in Avodah Zarah that base, he said in Becharis that base. Where does it come into Becharis that base? Because Becharis that base talks a lot about Ovdei Kechavim, because the way to circumvent Hilchas Bechar is to have a non Jewish partner. He's non-Jewish. Now there's a Yad Nachri Be'emtza. That's your way of getting out of Bechar. So essentially what happened here was this Bechar was Yotza Shlish. One Aver came out. There was no Kedushas Bechar yet. Because when is it Chal the Kedushas Bechar? When there's Rav. It was only one third. A few of its Avarim came out. He sold it to a guy. So in theory, by selling it to a non-Jew at this point right now, now you have a Yad Nachri Be'emtza. So even if another third comes out, technically, you'll never have Kedushas Bechar. But here's the Shaila. The Shaila is when the second third emerges. So right now you have a Leda. So now, Rav of the baby emerged from its mother. Now it's going to be Chal Kedushas Bechar. Nothing to talk about. Indisputable. The question is it Chal Lemafreya from the beginning of the Leda? Or is it not Chal Lemafreya? Do we say that once Rav of the animal emerges, now it's Chal Kedushas Bechar retroactively from the time that the first Aver emerged? Or no, when Rav emerges, now it's Chal Kedushas Bechar, at this very second. The Nafka Mina is, if in the interim, from the beginning of the Leida, until when two-thirds of it, we're just using two-thirds loosely as being the Rav, technically it's 51%, but from the beginning of the Leida until two-thirds emerged, if you sold it to a non-Jew, what's the halacha? If the Kedushas Chal Mafreya, once two-thirds comes out, so it comes out of Mafreya, it was belonged to the Kayan. It had Kedushas Bechar. You had no right to sell it. As a result, it's going to be Kaddish. If, however, it's Mikanu Lahaba, once two-thirds emerge, now it's Chal Kedusha, not Lamafreya. Now it's Chal Mikanu Lahaba. Could it be Chal Mikanu Lahaba? No. Because if it doesn't work Lamafreya, that means whatever you did, Mitchilas Leida, until two-thirds emerged, is effective. What did you do in this case? You sold it to a non-Jew. Now you have a non-Jewish partner. Once you have a non-Jewish partner, all bets are off. At this point, it can't be chal. So Zokti Gemara, Rav Huna Amar, Rav Huna says Kadosh. Rabba Amar, Enei Kadosh. Rav Huna Amar Kadosh, let's see it inside again. Kosovar, he holds L'mafreya Kadosh. That once two-thirds of the animal emerges, it's chal L'mafreya. V'kivin d'nofek le'rubei. So once Rav of the animal emerges, he gloy milsa L'mafreya. So now it's a...
Giloi retroactively to be kara have a kaddish umay the zavin. So at the time that you sold the like kum's oven, you had no right to sell. Rabba Marabba says any kaddish, there is no kedusha kasavin mikaru lahabo kaddish. When the 2/3 are merged, tchal kedusha only mikaru lahabo. May the zavin shab is oven. As a result, what you sold was a good mechira. Comes out, you have this non-Jewish partner. Thus, you're not going to have any kedushas bechars. As the gemara of Azdu Tamar, this machloikis, Rabba and Rav Huna, whether the Kedushas Bechar is Chal L'mafrei Mekano L'haba, you find that they argued in another context, and thus the positions that they had respectively are L'tamayu, are L'shitosayu. The Itmar, what's this other instance where they argued the same Achloikis? Yotzal Shlishterech Toifin. We know the only time an animal has Kedushas Bechar is if the animal was born naturally. If, however, it was born Caesarean, then the halacha is, it doesn't have kedushas bechar. The reason is very simple, because the Torah, when it defines bechar, says, kadesh li kol peterechem. Peterechem literally means the animal or the child that opens up the womb of its mother. If it's not born peterechem, there isn't going to be kedushas bechar. So what happens if the first third of the animal came out Derech Teufin, Caesarean, Vishnei Shlishi Derech Rechem, and then the other 2/3 came out Derech Rechem. Does it have Kedushas Bechar? Does it not have Kedushas Bechar? Rafuna Amein HaKadosh, Rafuna said there's no Kedusha. Rabba Amma Kadosh, Rabba says there is Kedusha. Rafuna Amein HaKadosh, Rafuna said there's no Kedusha. Rafuna L'tamei Damo L'mafrei HaKadosh. So Rafuna L'shitasei that says that once the animal emerges Raif, it's Chal, the Kedusha, L'mafreya, from when the first Aver left. V'ruba Kamo Lesa Berechem. So this is a little bit of a stretch in Lumbus, Ayin Rashi, and Ayin the Achreinen, and the Achreini Achreinim. But just we'll just go through the Gemara Pashup Shah. And that is, if Rav Huna holds the Mafreya, then the way you look at the Mafreya is, you have to look at the first Aver that ever emerged, and see how it emerged. And being that the first third of the animal, let alone the first David, the first third of the animal was born Derech Teufin, and when it's born Derech Teufin, it doesn't have any Kedushas Bechar. It's for that reason, in this case, it's going to be Enei Kaddish. Rabba Amma Kaddish. Rabba says that just because the first third was born Derech Teufin doesn't bother me, being that the second 2/3 were born naturally. And the reason is, it's Rabba L'Tameh, Rabba L'Shitasi, Dama Mikanu L'Haba Kaddish. He holds that Kedushas Bechar is Chal Mikanu L'Haba. V'ruba Derech Rechem Nafik. So I don't have to look back at each individual Leda. I could wait until the baby is fully born, and now I could ask myself, does it have a Leda that should beget Kedushas Bechar or not? 2/3 of it were born Derech Rechem. Only 1/3 of it was born Derech Teufin. As a result, it's going to have Kedushas Bechar. So the Gemara says that somehow, whether you have to look at the first third or not, should be totally the machlekes Rav Huna and Rabba. According to Rav Huna, that l'mafreya, you have to look at the first third. According to Rabba, that it's mikado l'haba, you don't have to look at the first third. So what you could do is look at the big picture. I have 2/3 of Leida Derech Rechem. That's enough to say that you can have the halachas of Bechar. In other words, it's the same machloikis Rabba and Rav Huna, albeit in a different context. Again, we have a machloikis Rabba and Rav Huna, lamdusha machloikis. When we say that a baby, in order for it to have Kedushas Bechar, needs to be born, quote-unquote, kol ha-bechayra she'yivale, and the definition of born is raiv. Why? Because rubik ha-kulay, it's always raiv. What happens when raiv of the baby is born? Do we say that l'mafreya now, from the time that its first aver emerged from its mother, at that point already, it was chal kedusha? Now, when the first aver emerged, it wasn't raiv yet. So in real time, nothing happened. But in the world of the Mafreya, retroactive, once Reiv comes out, we say that the Kedusha now dates back to when the first Aver emerged, or no, or it's only Nikano Lahabo. And really what we have is a Machloikis, Lekula, and Lechumra, both ways, depending on if you hold the Mafreya or if you hold the Mikano Lahaba. The first case was where you sold a little bit, you sold a Shlish to a non-Jew when a little bit emerged before Roiv of it emerged. The question is, does that Mechira go into effect and say that there's Yad Nochri Bamsi, you're not going to have Kedushas Bechar or not? Rav Huna said to Mafreya, thus, the Kedushas Chal Mafreya, you weren't a Bailim to sell to a guy, so the Bechar is going to have Kedusha because the Mechira doesn't go into effect. Rav Huna says, Mikano Lahaba is going to go into effect. The other Nafkimina would be in the reverse. What happens if the first third went out Derech Teufin and then only the second third will pet? According to Rav Huna, that holds, Le Mafreya, you are not going to have Kedusha because you have to look at the first third and the first third went out Derech Teufin. According to Rabba, that it's Mikano Lahaba you are. So according in one tzir, Rav Huna is going to be the Machmir, Rabba is going to be the Mekel, and the other tzir,
Rabba's going to be the machmer, Rav Huna's going to be the mekel, says the Gemara Vitzricha. And that's precisely, that's the segue, that's precisely why we needed both tziyurim to establish the machloikis between Rabba and Rav Huna, because otherwise you could have made the following mistake. Had we only had the first machloikis, had Rabba and Rav Huna only argued their respective positions in the case of Yatsa Shlish or Machar Levi Yechavim, I would have thought Baha'kam Rav Huna, maybe it's only over there Rav Huna said, it's Allah Kadosh, Mishum de Lekula. What's Mishum de Lekula mean? Says Rashi, because there, if he would have held like Rabba and held Mikanu Lahaba, it would come out of Kula in a Kadosh. So you would have thought that maybe Rav Huna only said his Allah of the Mafreya because he doesn't want to be Mekel. Because he wants to say that L'chumra, you have to hold the Mafreya. So L'chumra, I'm going to say that it's Kaddish L'mafreya. Avo Bahach, but in the second Machloik is, the L'chumra, where it would be a Chumra to hold like Rabba, in the Rabba. Maybe over there we would hold like Rabba. V'yitmar Bahach, and if we only had the second Machloik is, I would have thought Bahach come out Rabba. Maybe Rabba only said as Allah in the second Machloik is, where Rabba comes out the Machmer. Avo Bahach, but in the first case, where Rabba is the Mekel, in the Rafuna, Zakti Gemara, Tzricha, that's why you need both cases. The bottom line is, the reason we have both cases is to show that Rabba and Rafuna didn't just say their respective halachas L'chumra. Doesn't matter if it's L'chumra, doesn't matter L'kula. In one case, Rabba is the Machmer, Rav Huna is the Mekel. In the other case, it's in the reverse. So we needed both cases just to show that this has nothing to do with Kulas and with Chumas. Says the Gemara, Tanan, Mishnah said, HaMavakeres HaMakasha Lele. So what was the halacha of the Mishnah? You had a mother that's about to give birth to her first child, to a Bechar. So we said the halacha is that you're allowed to go in, you're allowed to remove some Evarim. The reason is because as long as it's in the mother's womb, it's not Kaddish yet, but Kiddush is Bechar. You need Kala Bechar, Asher Yevalei. And you can even give it to the dogs. So the Gemara says, my lab mechatech amaniya. When we say you can feed it to the dogs, doesn't mean you cut one aver at a time and feed it to the dog? Or does it mean you can cut, as long as it's an aver at a time? It was never Yatzar Rubai, there was never a Leda. Leave it around, put it away in your deep freezer, and then eventually you'll give it to the dogs. Is that okay as well? So the Gemara says, it sounds like it. I mean, it doesn't say otherwise. My lab mechatech amaniyach. It sounds like you can cut an aver at a time. You could end up with the roiv of the Evarim sitting in your freezer and feed it to the dogs. Samara says, why? Yeah, l'mafreyahu kaddish, you cover me by the way. In other words, bishlam if you hold me kanu lahaba. So I understand why this is okay. As long as you remove it ever, it's never going to be chal kedushas bechar. Because it's understood, and this is important, that the only time it can be chal kedushas bechar is if the animal is intact. But if the animal, if you have a part of the animal that's detached from the animal at the time that it has to be chal kedushas bechar, there's no way kedushas bechar is going to be chal on a detached eva. So if you hold that the kedusha happens mikanu lahaba, so when you have roiv, it's in your freezer, it's all wrapped very, very nicely, it's not attached to an animal anymore, so it's moving, why there's no kedusha? So mechatech ever, umaniach, and then afterwards a mashach l'klavim. But according to Rav Huna, when roiv emerges, when is the kedusha chal? It's chal mikano lahaba? No. It's chal mafreya. What does the mafreya mean? From the moment that the aver emerged from the animal. It was attached to the animal at that time. See, even though right now it's detached, but really the kedusha is not being chal now, it's going to go back to when it emerged. At that point it was attached. So if that's the case, once it's yotzer roiv, l'chayr it should be chal kedusha on the entire animal. So why is it okay to be mechatech u'meniach? And for the Mishnah it's mashma, you could be mechatech u'meniach. So the Gemara says, loy. Even though from the Mishnah, from the stima of the Mishnah, it seems a little that way, but it's really not mechatech u'meniach, but mechatech u'mashach. When the Mishnah says that it's okay to be mechatech and to feed it to the dogs, it means you have to be mechatech ever at a time, and then feed it to the dogs. But you can't be mechatech accumulated until you have a roiv, and then feed it to the dogs. Just once you have a roiv, as long as the evarim are around, it's going to be chal kedushas bechar lemafreya from the time it emerged, even while it was still attached to the rest of the animal. And as a result, you're going to have a problem of feeding animal that has kedushas bechar to dogs. But the Gemara says, so if that's the case, you're making a bigger kimta. You're telling me that the only time it's okay to be mechatech and be mashlich leklavim is if it's you don't have the roif. But ava mechatech umeniach, but if you're going to be mechatech, leave it around to the point that you have a roif, ma you cover. Then you're going to have to bury it. Then it's going to have kedusha. If that's the case, the sefer of the Mishnah mentioned the case where you can't feed it to the dogs. What was the sefer? Adatan the sefer, yotzer ruba, you cover. Case was if roif of it emerged in once. So there the halach is, you cover v'nifter ma b'cher. Why do you have to jump to such a case? Liflik v'lisne b'diday. We can give a lesser, a bigger chiddush. B'med v'ar ma'mur b'mechatech umashach ever ever. Ava mechatech umeniach, you cover. That the only time it's okay to be mechatech ever and give it to the dogs, that's if you're not going to leave it around. You're not going to have
Reuven once. But in the event that you're going to cut it and now have Reuven, now you can't give it. So why are we jumping? If you want to tell me a case when you can't give it to the dogs, if Reuven came out at once, even if Reuven didn't come out at once, even if it emerged ever, still, it's going to not be okay in the event that you were mechatech ha-miniach. So, l'chayra, it's a raya to rabba, it's a kasha. And Rav Huna, the Gemara says, n'hachi nami kama. Really, Rav Huna can learn the Mishnah that way. The Mishnah says, b'met varam amur mechatech ha-mashlich. This is a chasure mechser of a hachik tani. Rav mechatech ha-miniach, nasa kemisha yatzeru b'yikava. You're right, maybe that's really what the Mishnah meant. The Mishnah meant to say that as long as the uber's inside, roiv of it didn't emerge, you could be mechatech and you could give it to the klovim. If, however, you're giving mechatech ha-miniach, then it's going to be as if the whole thing emerged bevasachas. Why? Because the kedusha is chalam afreya, and at that point, it's not going to be okay. We're not ready to excel yet. But you, Rava declared another shayla. Holchu bevarim achar haroy vayloy. Do you go basar roif when it comes to defining whether an aver is inside the animal or outside the animal? Or, like, holchu bevarim achar roif. Says the Gemara, hey chidami, let's clarify the case. And the Gemara is going to have two attempts of what this case might be. Is the case where we're trying to determine whether roiv of the animal emerged or roiv of the animal did not emerge. And what's the difference if roiv emerged or not? If roiv emerged, then it's chal kedushas bechar. If roiv didn't emerge, it wasn't chal kedushas bechar yet. Very big difference. Could I be mechatech ever ever and be mashlichay leklovim? Do I have to bury him? I mean, there's nafkaminas, right? So the question is, we're trying to figure out, was it roiv or not roiv? This is very close. So we have to really be ma'ayin to figure out whether you have roiv or not. So the Chachamim came and they're looking and they're being ma'ayin, and this is what they came out with. They said that you have roiv only if you take into account one aver, meaning you need that to establish the roiv. The problem is this one aver that we're using to establish the roiv, leda, is an aver that's partially inside, partially outside. The majority of it is inside. It's only a mid of it that's outside. And maybe this was the shayla. This was Rav Shaila. Coming by, hay miut de baroy. This miut that's outside. Basar roiv de aver shadinale. Do we say that? Being that it's a miut of an aver, and rubai, the rule is always is kakulai. So we have to look at it really as if it's inside, because roiv of its aver is inside. And if roiv of it is inside, if this miut is inside, and I need this miut to be mitzarev to what's outside to establish the roiv leida, I'm not going to have roiv leida. Or do we say, no, we're not going to put it basa the roiv of the aver, I'm going to put it basa the roiv of the uber, and the roiv of the uber is outside. Now, to be intellectually honest, the roiv of the uber is not outside. I need this miut to establish that the roiv should be outside. So really, in theory, right now, I don't have any roiv outside. And if I go basa roiv aver, roiv of it is going to be inside. But being that if I put it together with the uber, I will have roiv outside. So the Gemara holds this as a shayla. So again, the shayla is where I have roiv leida only if I'm mitzarif a miut of an aver, the roiv of which is inside. So how do I look at that miut? Do I go basa roiv of its own aver? In that case, it's inside. That means I don't have roiv outside. I'm not going to have a leida. There's no kedushas bechar. Or do I say that being that if I put the miut of this aver outside, I'll have roiv of the uber outside. So it makes more sense to put it together with the roiv of the uber than to put it based on the roiv of the aver. So maybe says the Gemara, this was Rav Shaila, right? The Gemara was not sure what Rav Shaila was. Rav declared a very general Shaila. Holchu beivar macha roiv, alai holchu beivar macha roiv. And the Gemara is not sure what the Shaila was. Hey chidami, is this the Shaila? So the Gemara says, no, this could not have been the Shaila. You know why? Because Pshita says the Gemara. It's obvious. Which side? The loyshav, that's not obvious. The loyshav gin on ruba the uber, vazlina basa roiv aver. It's poshut that you're going to go basa roiv of the uber, and you're not going to go basa roiv of the aver. So even though this is the miut of an aver, the majority of which is inside, it's poshut that's not what you're going to do. You're going to look at the uber, which is outside, you're going to attach it now to the uber, we're going to say roiv of the uber was born, and as a result, it's pashut, this is going to be a leida. Okay, so what was Rav Shaila? If this is pshita, then this wasn't Rav Shaila. So the Marcel, if you're going to Yat, so the Shaila was similar. The case was where Chetzyoy came out b'roiv aver. Right now, you have 50-50. Half of the animal's inside and half of the animal's outside. It's a perfect 50-50. But one of the avarim that's outside is roiv of an aver, and the miut of that aver is inside. What's the shayla? The miut that's inside. Should I attach it to the roiv aver? which is outside, and therefore say that I have rive of the animal outside, or not? Now, over here, you don't have what the Gemara said earlier, the pshita. Why not? Because here there's no conflict. In the first attempt that the Gemara had to explain what Rabbi Shaila was, there seemed to be a conflict, a tug of war. On the one hand, I could look at it as being part of the Roiv Aver. On the other hand, I could look at it as being part of the Roiv Over. Over here, it's both. Over here, if I put the miut of the Aver outside, it's going to be part of the Roiv of its Aver, which is outside, and the Roiv of the Uber, which is outside, because we'll establish that Roiv of the Uber is outside by putting the miut outside. So either way, says the Gemara, that was Rava Shaila, says the Gemara, Tashma, I'll bring you a raya from our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Yotzer, Rubai, Arezi, you caught first glance, the Mishnah didn't say anything about this, right? But we'll see what the Mishnah did say was something that it didn't have to say. And thus, you have the akroya seira, so to speak, in the Mishnah, and maybe it's coming to teach me Rava's halacha. The Mishnah said that if Rav of the animal emerged in one shot, the halacha is Areza Yikover, then it has Kedusha. Says, what does Rav mean? Ilay me Rubai Mamish. Doesn't mean literally there was Rav. Ad hashto layashmi inon the Rubai Kakulai. What, I had to wait until Chulin Daf Samech Tes to know the concept of Rubai Kakulai 6.5 years into Daf Yoimi? We know Rav. So, L'chaira, I have to wait until here to notice Allah. That doesn't make sense. El Allah must be the Mishnah telling me a Chiddush. What's the Chiddush? The Chiddush must be Rava's case, where half of it went out with Rav Eiver, and I need the Miut. So, L'chaira, you could be Poshah Rav Shaila. So, the Mara says, lie. Maybe that's not what the case is. You're right. It's not telling me what the Mishnah seems to be telling me, because Ad Hashto Le'yashmi Inan the Rubik Kekula, I don't have to wait until this Mishnah to know the Allah of Rav. It's probably telling me a Chiddush. What is the Chiddush? The Chiddush is Kigoin Cheyatze Rubai Bemiut Ever. The Chiddush is what was Poshet to the Gemara, the first attempt that we had in explaining what Rav Shaila was. The Kamash one, as much as the Gemara thought initially that it was Pshita, now the Gemara is being chayzer a little bit and saying that at the very least I need a Mishnah to teach me the halacha, to lay shavkin and ruba to uba, the behem of zibas to dehem, because that's so pashit. Because in that case, there was a tug of war. Do I put the miut with the roiv of the aver? Do I put it with the roiv of the uber? Kamash malanda, you put it with the roiv of the uber, not the roiv of the aver. The point is at least worthy of a Mishnah to teach me this halacha. That wasn't Rav Shaila, though. I mean that wasn't Rav Shaila. Rav Shaila, you can't be pashit. Rav Shaila was the second beer. Not the first beer. The Mishnah that's teaching me a Chiddush, clearly, based on the Kriya Seir, could be the first beer, not the second beer, and now we can exhale. Either way, Zakhti Gemara Vaita, boy, Rava. Another Shiloh that Rava asked. Karchoi Besiv Mahu. So you have a Behema Hamivakeres Hamikasha Lele. So this is a Bechor that's about to give birth to a child. It's a bechor that fits into the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. This is Yontif Leinin. Kol ha-bechor asher yivoleh bivkorcho uvitzoyncho hazocher taktish l'Hashem alikech. Why? Because the Torah says, kadosh li kol bechor peterech. So any animal that's poiter, it's peterechem of its mother, the halacha is, it gets kedushas bechor. Now the definition of peterechem is that it opens up the womb of its mother, right? And a fetus lives in a shilya, in an amniotic sac that's filled with liquid, which itself lives inside the womb. When the baby is ready to be born, the womb opens up, it goes through the birth canal, and the baby emerges. So clearly, Kedushas Bechar is related somehow to the fact that the animal is peterechem. It opens up the womb, and it's the first to open up the womb. That's why even a nephil, like we saw the other day, would make it that the baby that's born afterwards is not the Bechar. Because even though the nephil, Rachman al-Islam, died, but at the same time, it was the Pet Derechem. The definition of Bechar as it relates to Kedushas Bechar is Pet Derechem. Either way, what happens if Karcha Besiv, so as this animal was about to be born, so the person that's doing the delivery wrapped the animal in Siv, that's palm best. The point is, it wrapped it in a way that the animal never made direct contact with the rechem. So the question is it still considered pet rechem, or is it not considered pet rechem? I think Mara's going to explain in a minute how that's even possible. Vitalisai, or the one delivering this animal wrapped the animal in a talis, Same shaila. B'shulyasai, or wrapped it in an amniotic sac. Frank the Gemara, b'shulyasai urchayu. Every baby lives in an amniotic sac. I mean, that's natural. So the Gemara says, ela b'shulyacheres. If you took the amniotic sac of another animal and you put it on this animal, it sounds like animal cloning, or, but you put it in another, it's not, I know. You put it into another amniotic, things you do in a lab. Either way, in another amniotic sac, and then it came out that way. What's the halacha? Says the Gemara, karchasai, v'achsasai, v'itziyasai. Mao, or what happens if the person was able, the one delivering the animal, was able to wrap his or her hands around the animal to make sure that it never made direct contact with the peterechem, so that maybe it's not chal kedushas bechar. But the Gemara says, hey chidami, how is this even possible? And the preface of hey chidami is that how it's understood that you can't just, the person would not be able to go into the womb of this animal and wrap the fetus. It's just not a physically possible thing. So you would need a little bit of leida to take place first. The animal would have to emerge a little bit. Once the animal merges and opens up the area, then already it's going to be possible. The problem is, once it opens up the area, now it's already peterechem. Someone says, hey, chidami, e de nofik derech reishe. If when the animal emerged a little bit, it emerged derech roishoy patrasei. At that point, it already opened up. So the Mar says, "Oh, the novik derech margaloisa," right? Because we had in our Mishnah that once the roish comes out, that's already considered tiyolid. It's true in behema makashalelid. It's true in hamavakeres amakashalelid as well. So the Mar says you have to say where it came out derech margaloisa, derech its feet. So that there, the only time it's considered leida is if it's roif. That's the theme of today's daf. Only if it's rife. If it's only if it's rife, before rife emerged, you didn't sell it to a guy. What you did was, is you quickly wrapped it. And then the question is, do you say that being that it was wrapped either in bast, or it was wrapped in a talis, or in another animal's amniotic sac, or you wrapped it with your hands, but somehow you enveloped the fetus that when it came out through the beis harechem, through this birth canal, it never made direct contact. Is that enough to say that there's no kedushas b'char, there's no peterechem or not? That is essentially the Gemara shaila. Another shaila. Bolus haychulda. What happens if a weasel went into the rechem of the animal, swallowed the fetus, v'hoitziyasai, took it out? So the Gemara says, "Hoitziyasai ha'afikte." Why is this shaila different than all the other shailas? I mean, it's the same shaila. The shaila is where it never made direct contact with the rechem. Either it was wrapped in a talis or it was in the mouth of a weasel. The Gemara says, "No. What happened was, balasai, the weasel swallowed it. Hoitziyasai took it out of the mother. Vehichnisasai then brought it back in. Vehikiyasai, and when it brought it back in, it spit it out. Vyatzamielov, and then the fetus was born naturally. Mal. So do you say, being that it came out already, now it went back in some tzveitin mol, it's not considered peterechem or no? L'maisa now, it just went out derech rechem. Hidbik shnei rechamim v'yotzim yisev v'nichlas azem mal. Another shiloh. What happens if somebody took two animals, put them right next to each other, so that the two rechamim, the two wombs, were attached to each other? Now, the animal emerged from its mother's womb, went right into the next animal's womb, and then eventually left the second animal. What's the question? The question is, this second animal that didn't give birth to this child naturally, but did somewhat unnaturally, when it now has a natural child, will that natural child be a bechar or not? Do you say, what do you mean? Yeah, it's peter rechem. Or no, this rechem was opened already. How was it opened? Because an animal had come from a different animal into its rechem, so maybe that was considered the peterechem. So when it has its own child, maybe that own child won't be peterechem. And the Gemara says regarding all the aforementioned shailas, teiku, boy, Rav Acha, another shaila, niftechu, koisle, beis harechem, mahu. What happens? So naturally, in order for an animal to emerge from its mother, so it's going to have to push, and the beis harechem is going to have to open, and it's going to go out through the beis harechem. What happens if niftechu koisle beis harechem? It opened up by itself, and then the animal was able to go out very, very smoothly, very naturally, to the point that the animal never made contact with the walls of the beis harechem. Is it considered peter rechem or not? Aver rechem makdish, do you say the aver of the rechem is what gives its kedusha v'yikah? Oidom negias rechem akacha, it actually has to touch the beis harechem. That's the birth canal. V'olek, boy, ma brav ashi, another shayla nekru koisel beis harechem ma'u. What happens if the whole beis harechem fell apart? Says the Gemara, nekru halesnu. Meaning it sounds like if there's no beis harechem, then how did the animal emerge from, it must have been a C-section, or it must have come out some other way. So what's the shiloh? The Gemara says, no. Ela nekru v'tolei b'tavari. What happened was the beis harechem slipped out of place, but now it hung, it suspended itself around the neck of the uber. So in theory,
the animal made contact with the Beis Arechem, just not in the natural way. Usually it leaves its mother via the Beis Arechem. That's not what happened. What happened was the Beis Arechem is attached to the Uber, so the Uber is in contact with the Beis Arechem, but in this very unnatural way. The Shaila is Bim Koyma Mikachi Shleibim Koyman Bim Mikachi. Do we say that the Kedusha has to take place Bim Koyman? Not otherwise, otherwise there's no Kedusha. Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yirmiyah also asked the Shaila, and he asked the Shaila from Rabbi Zeira, Nigmimu Koisle Beis Arechem Al. What if the inner membrane, the inner layer of the Beis Arechem got completely removed? So what's the Shaila? Do you say it still gets the Kedusha of Pate Rechem? Or not. It's in the Rechem, it's making contact with the Rechem, but not the part of the Rechem that it usually makes contact with. Because the part of the Rechem would be that outer area, the layer of the Rechem that's typically exposed to the Ober, and that part, that layer has been removed. So there's Negiya, there's Aver, but the Negiya is to a part of the Rechem that usually the Ober does not touch. Do we say that it's considered Kedushas Beis Arechem, and not Amalei? So Rabbi Zeira told Rabbi Yirmiyah, Kanogis be bayadi bayalon. You're touching on a Shiloh that we once asked. The boy, Rabbi Zeira himself once asked, Amidah, some say bayimine. Rabbi Zeira asked, Oimim Rubal Aparetz. What happens if some of the inner area was removed? Oimim Rubal Aparetz is an Erefin Sugya. But what happens if some of the inner layer was removed? So you have more Oimid, you have more that what where nothing was removed, then parts where something was removed. V'yatzah derech parts. And then when it came out, derech the Beis Arechem, it went out from the part of the Beis Arechem where that inner layer was removed. Or it was parts merubah la'oymeh. More of it was removed than was removed. V'yatzah derech oymeh. So the Gemara said like this, Ad kam lo'i bayulez. Reb Zeri said, this whole shaila that we cleared was elo parts merubah la'oymeh. De'ika oymeh bayulam. It was only where it was parts merubah, but at least it was oymeid, and it was yotzeh derech oymeid. So it's true, a lot of the inner layer was removed, but not all of it. And the part from which the fetus emerged from its mother was where it had not been removed. And there was a shayla. Avol nigmamu, Reb Zeira told Reb Yirmiyah, your case where it was completely removed, it's not paritz meruba ala oymeid. All there is paritz, everything was nifratz. Over there, like Kemi Bayulei, no one ever declared such a shayla. And as a result, even though the first shaylas in the Gemara were teku, but says the Gemara, as it relates to this, at least this very last shayla, Rabbi Yirmiyah shayla, it's pashut, if all of it was removed, there would be no kedusha. Zok, the Mishnah, vayt, the behema, shemei silber, again, me'inyin, le'inyin, ba'isa inyin. A behema that has an uber. And the Uber died betoich meyeh, inside the womb of its mother. The shepherd stuck his hand inside the womb of the mother, the nagaba, and he touched this dead fetus. The halacha is bein bebehema tameya, bein bebehema tahara tahar. It doesn't matter if this animal is a behema tameya, like a chazir. It doesn't matter if the behemah is a behemah tahara, like a para. Either way, the raya is tahar, meaning he doesn't become tame, despite the fact that he touched this dead fetus. This is a chiddush. Because luchura, why don't we look at the uber as a behemah? V'chol behemah ba behemah, right? It's a behemah. And it's a dead behemah. A dead behemah is also known as a nevela. A nevela is also bachila. A nevela also has tumah. Tumas nevela. So luchura, you would think that it should be tame, but that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says it doesn't matter if it's a behemah tahira or if it's a behemah tahemeya. The halach is going to be tame. Yosef Lili says, betmeya tame, ubetahira tame. No, it's not true. It depends. If the mother of the animal is a behemah tame, if we're dealing like a chazir, or gomel, or shafan, or arneves, or a kelev, or any other non-kosher animal. So then the halach is that if you touch the uber, you're going to be tameh. If, however, the mother was a behemoth tahira, then the halach is going to be tar. So we have a machloikis, tanakama, and Rabbi Yosi Aglili. If somebody touches the fetus, a baby, an uber, inside its mother's womb, it was dead. Is there Tumas Nevela or not? According to the Tanakhama, there's no Tumas Nevela. It doesn't matter if the mother was a Behemoth Tahira. It doesn't matter if it's a Behemoth Tumeya. There is not going to be Tumas Nevela. Yosi Aglili says it depends. If it's a Behemoth Tumeya, there will be Tumas Nevela. If it's a Behemoth Tahira, there will not be Tumas Nevela. Zok the Gemara, my time in the Tanakhama. What's the Pshat in the Tanakhama? Am Rav Chizda Kal V'Chaymer. Tanakhama knew his position mi Kal V'Chaymer. In Mahayilo, Imer Latir Bachilo, Le Toyole, Le Tahira, Midei Nevela. We know that Loch is the theme of the Perek. Behema Amakasha, that if
You shecht a mother, and there's an uber inside. The shechita works for the uber. So madach, the mother, could be matter the uber lachila. Kal v'chaymer, says the Gemara, it could be metaher. It could be metaher the uber as well. So if you would shecht the mother, the uber would be mutar lachila. If right now the mother is tahar, why? Because she's alive. Then it should be able to be metaher the uber as well, despite the fact that the uber is dead, and it should say that the uber is going to be tar, a very big chiddush. But either way, it says the Gemara, im ha'iloi imoi lahatirei b'achila, when you shecht it, lo toyolei l'tahirei b'dein ha'ela, because right now it's alive. So if the mother's alive, that means that the uber should not be able to contract tumas nevela, despite the fact that it's dead. Says the Gemara, ashkam behemot ha'ira. Okay, that's a nice makar for behemot ha'ira. Where the halacha is that if you shech the mother, the child is going to be mutar b'achila. So kal v'chaymer, it's metayr midei tumas nevela as well. Be'in etmeya, where there's no shechita, which is never going to be mutar, so you don't have the building block of the kal v'chaymer minol. And so how do you know? The Tanakhama said it doesn't matter if the behemah is a behemah tumei or if it's a behemah toyer. Either way, the uber is not going to have any tuma. Says the Gemara, Amakra, you're right. That has to, you learned that from a pasuk. And this is one of the many psukim in the end of Parsha Shmini. So we've learned a lot about Parsha Shmini together. The first half of it is kachim, and then you have all the halachas about the mafrat, says parsa, and the malas geira, and then the snapper and the kaskeses, and then the oif and the chagov. The very last part of Parsha Shmini, the part that we spent the least amount of time on, talks about the halachas of Tumas Nevela. Tumas Nevela, Tumas Shrotzen, the Shmoyne Shrotzen, I mentioned it. So a lot of the halachas of Tumas as it relates to animals. You have the kosher animals, non-kosher animals. They have all the dinim of Tumas. So one of the psukim in that over there, it says as follows. V'chiyomus men abehem, I'm reading from the side. Achahilochem lo'achla, means a kosher animal is going to die. Hanegeya ben evlasa yid ma'ad'arf. If somebody touches the nevela, he's going to be tame ad'arf. Now at first glance, the pasuk seems to say that the only time you have Tumas Nevela is if it's a kosher animal. If an animal that you're allowed to eat dies, so then the halacha is anegei ben evlasa. But we know that's not the truth. We know that halacha is that a kosher animal and a non-kosher animal equally are tamei in the event that they're dead. So the Gemara darshins this pasuk. You have no choice. You can't read this pasuk b'pshutai. So what you need to say is as follows. V'chiyomis ben abehema, the first half of the pasuk, zu behema tmeya. That's really talking about a behema tmeya. Asher hilochem la'achla, the second part of the pasuk, zu behema tayra. And if that's the case, the pasuk mentions behema tayra, it doesn't really mention behema tmeya. But through this drush, you have a behema tmeya and a behema tayra, both mentioned in this pasuk. So now we can make a hekish. Iskish behema tmeya, the behema tayra. Behema tayra veris. Ubra tahar, just like the behema tayra, it's ubra is tar. Why? That was the kal v'chaymer of Chizdas kal v'chaymer. Ah, behemet meya, ubra tar. When it comes to behemet meya, the uber is going to be tar as well. Rabbi Yosei Aglili, my time. What's the pshat Rabbi Yosei Aglili? Rabbi Yosei Aglili said, b'tmeya tameh, u'b'tahayra tahar. So what's the makar to that? I'm Rabbi Yitzchak to Amakra. He learns it from another pasuk. And this is also one of the psukim mentioned in Parsha Shmini. The pasuk over there says as follows. It's in the same context, the same exact parsha. They're both Vayikra Perek Yud Aleph. It says, V'chol hoylech al kapav, any animal that's hoylech al kapav, b'chol hachayo ha-hayleches al arba, t'meyim heim lochem, kol anegeya b'nevlosom, yitma ad ha'arif. And it's just kedai to know the end of the Gemara before we start the Gemara. What the Gemara is going to darsh from this pasuk is that when it says v'chol hoylech al kapav, an animal that walks al kapav, it's referring to an animal that does not have split hooves. Take a look at Rashi. Al kapav she'ein parsoisov sedukais. Rashi and Chumash says something similar. The point is, it's a non-kosher animal. And it says that a hoylech al kapav, b'chol hachayo ha-hoyleches al arba, it's inside another animal, that's hoyleches al arba. That too the Gemara is going to say, again, at the end of the Gemara, but that too the Gemara is going to say means a non-kosher animal, because only a non-kosher animal is hoylech al arba. A kosher animal, being that it has split hooves, is hoylech al shmoina. So we're dealing with a non-kosher animal, called hoylech al kapav, b'chol hachayo ha-hoylechas al arba, it's inside another non-kosher animal, because it's hoylechas al arba, it's not hoylechas al shmoina, and the pasuk says, t'meyim hem lochem, they are tame, you can't eat them, and kol anegeya b'nevlosam yitma da'arav. And not just that, like we said before, even a non-kosher animal has tumas nevela. So let's see the Gemara. Omer Rav Yitzchak said the following drash. It says, b'chol heilich haka b'chol b'chayu lechaz b'chayim. Mahalche kapayim b'chayu temesi l'cha. That any time you have a mahalche kapayim, a non-kosher animal, b'chayu, and it's inside
another animal, the halach is temesi lecha, it's going to be tamei. That's how you know that the dead fetus inside an animal is tamei. The Gemara says, El me'ata, if that's the case, meaning the criteria is, if it's a non-kosher animal, it's a hoylech al kapov, and it's inside a chaya, it's tamei, then kolut bimei para litamei. Then if you have a non-kosher animal that was born from a kosher animal, this was Reb Shimon's infamous kolut bimei para. Right, if a para, which has split hooves, gave birth to a baby that didn't have split hooves, the halach is that it should be tamei. Why? The mahalche kapayim b'chayahu. Because it's mahalche kapayim b'chayah. Who said not? Reb Yosef Aglivi said not. What did Rabbi Yosef Aglivi say? B'tmeya tamei b'tayra tar. He says, you look at the mother. If the mother's tamei, then the uber is going to be tamei. If the mother's tar, then it's going to be tar. It's not true. In this case, the mother's tar and the baby should be tamei. Because if the makar is anything that's hoylech hakapav inside a chaya is tamei, then if it's a hoylech hakapav even in a kosher mother, the halach is that it should be tamei. And Rabbi Yosef Aglivi didn't say that in the Mishnah. What's the teretz? Teretz is what we spoke out. The teretz is mahalche kapayim mahalche arba. V'hai mahalche arba b'mahalche shmoina. It has to be a mahalche kapayim in a mahalche arba. Because what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says v'chol hoylich al kapov b'chol achaya haylachas al arba. And being that the parah does have split hooves, so it's a mahalche shmoina. As a result, it doesn't meet the criteria of the pasuk for when it should be tameh. Says the Gemara, parah b'mei gomel loyte tameh. A parah b'mei gomel. If a gomel gave birth to a parah. So the halacha should be that it should not be able to be, it shouldn't become tamei. Why? Because the parah is a mahalche shmoina b'mahalche arbahu. So the Gemara says, hoylech, v'chol, right, so, and where do you see not that way? Because the Mishnah again is mashma, that bitmeya tamei, that as long as the mother is tamei, the offspring is automatically going to be tamei. Why is the offspring automatically tamei? There's two criteria. You need the baby should be a mahalche arba, and you need the mother should be a mahalche arba. In this case, the baby is a mahalche shmoyin. The Gemara says, I hear, but v'chol hoylech, l'rabbi's par b'mei gomel. It said, v'chol hoylech al kapa, v'chol is coming to be mar. Kolut b'mei kluta litamei, says the Gemara. What about this case? What about if you had a kolot bimei para, which is kosher? Rav Shimon is a das yochid that holds it's a problem. But the pashtus is a kolot bimei para is a kosher animal, even though it doesn't have split hooves, but his mother has split hooves. So that's enough for it to be a, it's enough for it to be a kosher animal. So it says the Gemara, kolot bimei kluta, that, so this kolot that was born from a para, which is a kosher animal that does not have split hooves, now has an uber inside of it, and oh, coincidentally, this uber also doesn't have split hooves. Interesting. So the question is, in that case, it should be tamei, even though the baby is a kosher animal and the mother is a kosher animal. And the reason it should be tamei is because even though they're both kosher, the mahalche arba, but mahalche arbahu, they're both mahalche arba. And from the Mishnah's mashma, not that way. Because when the Mishnah says, ubetayra tar, as long as the mother is tar, it's going to be tar. L'chayr, in this case, the mother's tar. And really, based on the drasha, it should be tamei. So the Gemara says, let's clarify. That even Rabbi Yosef Aglivi agrees with the kavuchaymer Rav Chizda. What was Rav Chizda's kavuchaymer? That a kosher baby inside a kosher mother for sure doesn't have tovens tevela. Because madach, if you would check the mother, you'd be able to eat the baby. Kavuchaymer, the mother should protect the baby and say that, being that the mother's tahar, so right now there can't be any tumas nevela on the baby. So that's pashit that a kosher and a kosher is tahar. Yosef Aglivi didn't need a drasha for that. Where Rabbi Yosef Aglivi needed a drasha was to tell me the tummy, if there's a tzat tumah, this is where he needs his drasha. So what did he learn from his tzat? Tummy and tummy is a problem. That's the puzzle. That teaches me a tummy inside a tummy is going to have tumas nevela. And what about the case where you have a tar inside a tummy? That's learned out from the v'chol hoylech. The rabbi is even a tar, but tummy, even a para, be made gomel. But the Gemara asks one final kashka. Mask of the rabbi, the choy barami. A chazir inside a chazirta shouldn't be tameh. The reason is the mahalchishmoyna, because we know a chazir is a non-kosher animal. But really, chazir has one of the two simanim. Which simon does it have? It's mafreses parsa. So as a result, it's a hoylech, not al kapov. It's a hoylech al shmoyna.
It's inside a hoyle chal shmoina, a chazer betoy chazerta, right? Ben benoy shal chazerta. So it's a chazer betoy chazerta, and if that's the case, it should, even though it's non-kosher, but as it relates to this halacha, it should be tahar. Rabbi Yisrael doesn't sound like he holds that way. What do Rabbi Yisrael say? V'tmeya tami betoy tahar. It doesn't matter why it's a tmeya. It doesn't matter if it's a tmeya because it doesn't have split hooves, or even if it's the chazer that has split hooves, it's tami because it's not malageir. At the end of the day, so how does Rabbi Yisrael Glili's rule shtim with chazer and chazirta if the makar to Rabbi Yosi Aglili is Rabbi Yitzchak's drasha? And the Gemara was so compelled by this question, and the Gemara said, Elom Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Mihacha. You're right. You have to say the makar is something else, a different pasuk. Also, Sefer Vayikra, this is not Parashat Shmini, this is Parashat Vayikra. It's Vayikra Perakeh, and this is in the context of the carbon oila v'yoyret. So we know there's certain averas that if a person does, amazing even, or certainly b'shoigig, where rather than being obligated to bring your typical carbon chatos, he has the option to bring either a chatos behema, or shnei torim, or shnei bnei yoyna, or even a carbon mincha, and it really depends on his financial status, depends on what he can or cannot afford. One of the examples is if somebody was tameh and he either ate kachim or he entered the Beis HaMikdash in the state of Tumah. It's what's known as Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. It's Mesechta Shfuas 101. It's the first very long sugya in Mesechta Shfuas. The halach is Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav Behelim Dava with some element of Shigaga has to bring a carbon oil v'yar. And the Torah over there describes the state of Tumah that this person was in when he either ate kachim or entered the Beis HaMikdash. Says the pasuk, Nefesh ki siga b'chol tameh, oy ben nivlas chaya tmeya, oy ben nivlas behema tmeya, oy ben nivlas sheretz tameh. Says the Gemara, it sounds like the only time you have the laws of Tumas Mikdash v'Kadoshav is if this person came in contact with the nevela of a behema tmeya. Is that true? A non-kosher animal? V'chi nivlas behema tmeya metama u'betair olay metama ela ezeze uber. It must be that there is one time where it's only the behemah tmeya that's metama, the behemah tahor is not. When is that? Uber. Shebet tmeya tameh, ube tahor tahor. So this is a whole new drasha. Ela, right? Ela means a whole new drasha. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, the makar to Rabbi Yosi Aglili is not from that pasuk of Parashat Shmini, it's from this pasuk. But the Gemara asks an interesting question. Umiachad, the nafkalim, the Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, the Rabbi Yitzchak lomali. Once we have Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak's drasha, we seemingly don't need Rabbi Yitzchak anymore. If we don't need Rabbi Yitzchak, what do we do with Rabbi Yitzchak's drasha? Says the Gemara, loved Rabbi Yitzchak, have a mina kule, look at the Rebbe with the asa. Had we not had Yitzchak's drasha, I would have used Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak's drasha for something else. What's that something else? L'kamon davayin al. That's tomorrow's daf. In tomorrow's daf, we're going to see Rebbe learn something else out from this pasuk. And as a result, as much as Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak sounds like a nice drasha, it actually doesn't have enough legs to stand on because it's a shaky drasha. And the reason it's a shaky drasha is because there may be another application for this drasha, as we're going to see in tomorrow's daf. So at the end of the day, as much as we had a kasha on Rabbi Yitzchak's drasha, what was the kasha? Chazer b'chazirta, and we had a command to Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, we still need Rabbi Yitzchak. We still need Rabbi Yitzchak, because Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak's drasha itself won't be enough. Kamash Malon, between Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak and Rabbi Yitzchak, we have it all worked out. Again, we'll see more about that in tomorrow's stuff. The bottom line is the Mishnah said a halacha, Behema Shemes Ubra B'toich Me'el. Very straightforward. The Raya stuck his hand inside the rechem of the mother and touched this dead fetus. Is it tameh or is it tar? Machlokes. Tanakhama says, Bein behema tameh, bein betahira tar. It's always going to be tar. Rabbi Yosi Aglili said, Betameh, tameh, betahira tar. My time of the Tanakhama, my time of Rabbi Yosi Aglili. My time of the Tanakhama, a behema tahira that has a dead fetus inside of it. It's poshut that if the roya touches the fetus, it's not going to be tameh. Kal v'chaymer. Because madach, if you would shecht the mother, you'd be able to eat the ober. So you see, the mother could be protective over its child. It could be matter its child ba'achila, even though the child itself never had a shechita. So kavachomer, as it relates to tuma, if the mother's tahar because it's alive, kavachomer, the uber is going to have to be tahar. That's only good for behemah tahar. We have a hekesh between a behemah tmei and a behemah tahar from one of the many psukim talked away in the end of Parashat Shmini. Thus, I know the halacha is true not only for the behemah tahar, we have the kavachomer, but it's true for the behemah tmei as well. What about Rabbi Yosi Aglili? Rabbi Yosi Aglili said it depends. If the uber was in a behemah tahar, it's tahar. If it's in a behemah tmei, then it's going to be tahar. So the Gemara says, as it relates to the being in the behemah tahira, being tar, ahani lay kavachaymer the Rav Chizda. He agrees with Rav Chizda's kavachaymer. He just didn't agree with the second part of Rav Chizda. The first part of Rav Chizda, he agrees. So the Second thing Rabbi Yitzhak Lili said, but the Hiratar, that's Pasha. That's Rav Chisda's halacha. He agrees with the Kal V'chaymer. The mother being alive is the reason that that Uber doesn't have Tumas Avel. The question is, why is it that in a Behema Temeya it's going to be Tomei? And what emerged was two sort of complicated drushes. One really complicated, Rabbi Yitzchak's drusha, which is learned from a pasuk, V'chal hoylech al kapov, V'chal achaya ha'ilechas al arba. And the Gemara Darshan says, V'chal hoylech al kapov is a Behema Temeya. V'chal achaya. It's an Uber. It's inside. It's like yesterday's Joshua. V'chol behema ba behema. It's inside a chaya ha'ilechas al arba. Also a non-kosher animal. The halacha is t'meyim heim lochem. This chiddush that a dead Uber inside a live mother in a non-kosher animal is going to be tamei. The Gemara said that's not a perfect Joshua, because although that Joshua would work for every non-kosher animal in a non-kosher animal, but really it works for everyone but one, the chazer. Because the chazer is non-kosher, but at the same time, it's not a hoylech al kapov. And it's not a hoyleches al arba, because it has split hooves. So it's a shmoina b'toich shmoina. So it doesn't work for that. Ahanile, for that he needed a second drasha. That's Rav Nachman by Yitzchak's drasha. The pasuk in the parsha of Korban Oil of Yairid, where it talks about Tumas Mikdash v'Kadoshav, and the pasuk over there describes that how did the person become tummy? It came in contact with the nevel of a behemoth tmeya. As if to say, it has to be nevel of a not. And if somebody touched the nevel of a kosher animal, then he entered the base on Mikdash. There's no Tumas Mikdash v'Kadoshav. Of course there is. Elamai, there must be some chiddish, some chumrah in the nevel of a behemoth tmeya that you don't have in a behemoth Torah. What's that chumrah? The uber of a behemoth tmeya. When it's dead, it's tummy. A behemoth Torah is not. These are two drushas. Gemara says, once I have the second drusha, why do I even need the first drusha? So for that already, we're going to have to wait until tomorrow's off, because the Gemara says, as much as we have the second drusha, it's a little shaky. Thus, really, it's a combination of the two drushas. So the daf really has been taking care of the raid. So, Bezus Hashem, hopefully tomorrow we'll get to speak out some raid in some of these very geschmacka, lamdisha, but also not so easy sugis and karek behem amakash.